That make a lot of sense to you last segment? Also, whether or not Owen's going to take his kids to the baseball game today, I think that makes a lot of sense. If he wants to do it, you go right on ahead. But what I said makes sense. Like, I just need him to be fine. Jamie Mack, to you, what a pathetic state of affairs to hear Ken say that he would be happy if Watson throws for 186 is so sad. He's not a developmental quarterback. He's not a rookie or some guy picked up in the supplemental draft. This needs to stop. We are wasting so much talent. If you continue to hold him to that standard, we're going to be miserable.
But I also think, Kenny,
Jamie, I don't blame you, but that's silly about it. This. It ain't coming back.
Here's what's silly about this. Won't this all fix itself? And what I mean by that is, okay, so let's say if you're of the mindset that Kevin Stefanski was protecting his quarterback on Sunday after what he saw against Dallas.
And I was.
And fine. Okay. Well, eventually, I'm sure at the start of the Patrick Mahomes era, they weren't just letting him run around, make plays, and let him just...
Well, they sat him.
Yes, he sat. That was part of it behind Alex Smith. But I'm saying, do you think week one, the stuff they were running with Patrick Mahomes was the same as what they were running in week 10?
It was definitely not, hey, let's just freelance it. And Travis, you go to the open spot. Yeah. And Patrick, you just keep running around until somebody gets open. That's not what they did.
Something in sports, or like in any facet of life, called trust. And if Deshaun Watson starts to exude more of the qualities that we all saw on film from Houston, guess what? Kevin Stefanski is going to trust him more and more. In fact, you could argue...
I can build to it.
You could argue he trusted him on that bootleg. Now, maybe some of the trust waned after his decision-making led to what could have been a game-losing turnover. But we'll see. You have time to work on this, and they've got some competition coming up that I think Kevin Stefanski probably has some confidence in his guys over the next month.
I would hope so. But I again, it's got to build towards all this because, gosh, it started out as bad as it could. Last week it got a little bit better. Hopefully this week gets a little bit better. He doesn't need to be Hercules right off the top. The times are coming. Against Cincinnati on October 20th, the times are coming. So he's going to have to step in there and probably be that guy, even though Joe Burrow has problems against us, so maybe he will, maybe he won't. But at some point, he's going to be tested, and then we will judge him based on that, and then we can go and talk about it. And I'm either going to be confirmed that he is not the type of quarterback that he used to be and that we need to make the best of what we are and that I've been real about this the entire time, or I've been wrong about this. But we're in this spot where it's very, very frustrating. It's frustrating for you and I. I think it's very frustrating for Nick in the afternoon because he keeps talking about people moving goalposts. I was in the bathroom getting ready for the preview show yesterday, and I was hearing him talking about moving the goalposts. And the analogy he made was great about his kids missing winter down in Carolina and then not missing winter or hating winter up here in Cleveland. Like, you don't know what you want. I do think, though, that we hear what we're mistaken is you and I and Nick and a lot of radio shows, we are hearing different people, but we mix them into one. I don't think that the same people are wishy-washy on Deshaun Watson. I think there's people who think he's not good, they don't like him, they think this is a waste of time, and they're not going to turn their eyes on anything else until he shows that he's the previous quarterback. Then there are people who think that those people are nuts and that what he's doing right now is good, which I can't get a grip on any of it. I can't. If you thought what you saw on Sunday was an elite performance, you are crazy. There's no way to say it. There's no other way to say it. Like, you need an evaluation. If you thought that was an elite performance and you're putting out fire emojis on that, you're nuts. If you can't be satisfied, then you're just going to be miserable the entire time. There's no other way to say it, guys. So I got to find the best one for it. I don't need him against the Giants because I think our defense will swallow up Daniel Jones. I don't need him to go out there and do these crazy things because I think he needs to have just a fine game, not turn the ball over, and we'll get out of there with a 20-6 win.
Well, I get that we have been so turned off by the trade over 2 years, then the injury happens. Like, I get that the city wants to see the return. The reality is...
Well, there was last week, too.
It looked terrific. The reality is they don't really need to see the return this week against the Giants. I know we want to get it every week, but the reality is that this offense is humming by the time they get to that stretch October 13th. That's what I'm looking at. Because they're going to need to be way better.
I like that.
Deshaun's going to have to be on another level for that stretch of six games.
You're right. I overlooked the Eagles game just because it was in orange up there, and that's my fault. You're right. That game on October 13th, the Eagles are a... Boy, a lot of people are going after Howie Roseman, though, lately. I don't know if you've noticed that. Some of those picks are... little shaky recently. I know he's God's gift to the game.
Sure, but you expect the Eagles to still be contending for a playoff spot and to still be formidable unless the wheels totally come off. That's when, talent-wise, it's not going to be nearly as easy as I think the next few weeks are.
216-474-092. All right, let me get to Sean in Bedford real quick. Then I got to play this audio. Hello, Sean.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi, Sean.
Want to talk about Deshaun Watson, man. Here's my problem with it, man. The guy's a human being. Just because he makes $230 million doesn't make him a robot and doesn't make him a superhero. If your father just passed away, your roommate passed away, you're coming off injury, you have all this stuff surrounding you, imagine this guy's mindset.
Okay, but Sean, that's your choice to feel that way. For most people, a lot of players are just vessels for their enjoyment, and so they are going to treat them as robots. If you feel that way, then that's your prerogative to feel that way. But I got to still look at it and go, hey, the defenses, as crass as this may sound, they don't care about anybody's personal life or personal problems. They're going after people because they're headhunters and they're trying to make their money too.
Sean,
so they have to answer to that.
Sean, the only thing I would ask, and maybe it's ridiculous when you've seen guys over the years deal with the stuff that they do, like Kobe Bryant always comes up to me, like somebody who was in the middle of a big time court battle for a lot was on the line when he was in Eagle Colorado, and then he would just calmly fly back and drop 40 or hit game winners. Like not, these guys aren't all built the same way. I do think a legitimate question was going to be for Deshaun, like, how is he going to deal with the distractions? And to be fair, like, over the first 2 years, he didn't deal with them all that great.
Right, and all I'm saying is, from the human being aspect, anybody, any other human being can. If all of that happened to you, you're not coming to work on Monday and performing your best. And he still went out there and performed better than the Dallas game and got the win. So do people care about Deshaun Watson being a $230 million Joe Burrow-type quarterback, or do they care about the Browns winning? Because as far as I'm concerned, if he plays like that for the rest of the year and the Browns make it to the AFC Divisional Playoffs, everybody is going to be on the bandwagon. We're not even going to be talking about what happened against Dallas.
I agree with you on that, Sean. I think there's several people out there that don't. I think that they're holding him to a standard that he needs to perform at an elite level to fulfill the contract. And if they go out there, and even if they lose to Patrick Mahomes, it's going to give them all the fire in the world to start yelling and screaming about it because they just don't like the guy.
Last thing. Cleveland, instead of just tearing down the guy, we tear down our athletes. Build him up. Come to the stadium. Cheer for him. Deshaun, we got your back. We got your back.
Well, Ken says fans should boo when they want to boo. Ken's a big believer in bullying.
I disagree with Sean.
He thinks it's a good way to release your frustration.
I think if Myles Garrett walked down the street right now, I think that there would be people offering to carry his bags. I think that there would be people offering to walk his dogs. I think there would be people offering to pick up the dog droppings from his dogs. I think that we love our athletes. I to a degree, I think that we're not critical enough of our athletes. And I'm one of the ones that are guilty of that, certainly. I've been accused of that. I've been accused of soft peddling because I like guys personally. And by the way, guilty as charged. Guilty as charged.
Do you think there's a chance, maybe the last caller would agree with this, the amount of home games that they have booed Deshaun Watson, do we think maybe cheering Deshaun Watson might get him and his confidence up? Your thoughts, Ken Carmen?
If he were out there doing poorly?
That the booing, we're talking about the psychology of a man who's been dealing with all that he's been dealing with, especially away from the football field.
So we should cheer him?
The death of family members and beloved friends, along with all the other stuff he's dealing with off the field right now.
I don't lack sympathy with any of that. I think you're trying to paint me into a corner you shouldn't be painting me into.
Well, you said if fans want to boo, they should boo. And the last caller is like, well, what does booing help? How much does booing help? Is that going to help
your quarterback? Doesn't really help anything. It helps you release your anger in the most constructive way possible. I don't want people to just sit there on their hands out of anger because then they'll just stop going. If you take away booing, then they're just going to stop coming. That's the last thing any professional franchise wants.
Booing doesn't help. Does cheering help?
Yes.
Then why not cheer?
Why would you cheer if things are going badly?
To help.
Because it helps.
Are you crazy?
Well, you just said that you thought it could help and cheering build guys help. Up. The caller Booing said build them up.
Am I in a different... What life am I in right now? Did I just die and end up in some alternative universe? What are you talking about cheering if they're doing poorly?
Owen was taking you through a logic progression there.
Yes.
You admitted that you thought cheering helped. You said booing doesn't help, so why boo?
Because it helps the fans deal with their emotions.
But the fans aren't the ones trying to help win the game in that scenario.
So
it kind of sounds like the fans are only hurting the team in that regard.
That's right.
Again, based on what you said.
Your logic.
Yes, your logic.
Well, booing does not help them do better. Maybe it does. I don't know. Maybe some
team. Why would you not try to help the team?
Yeah, I think that. Don't you want to be a good fan?
Well, wait a minute. If they're cheering, they also cheer. They do the yays and they do the boos.
Well, if you think about booing, go, that's going to hurt the team.
So cheer.
I'm going to cheer instead.
You don't have. What are you saying here? Wait a minute. They cheer because they believe it helps the team. They boo because they're mad.
Have they been booing when Deshaun has a down spot in a game at home?
Yes. Every game last year and every game this year, which is one.
Do you think that in one of those down spots that could occur in this Sunday's contest against the New York Giants...
They will boo.
Do you think they will boo?
Yes.
Do you think that they should instead cheer because, as you have told us, booing hurts the team, cheering helps.
Yeah, you want to help the team, not hurt them.
Did I say it hurts?
You did.
I just don't think it... No, I think I said it didn't help. I didn't think I said it hurts.
Well, do you want to help or do you want to not help?
I'd like to help. That's just my personal philosophy on all this. Ken maybe thinks differently.
Lima, are you crazy? You're the one who sat there and tried to tell fans a couple years ago that we are all just one great big gray face to professional football players. That all stadiums are the same.
Yeah,
I got a memory too there, Slippery Wizard. You ain't getting me.
And I do believe that. I don't think they ever really care where they're at.
Okay, so why would then...
Why
would you even make the argument then that the cheering helps and that the booing hurts?
Well, I've always wondered, just from an athlete's...
Miles Garrett, one of the great players in Cleveland, one of the greatest defensive player in the history of the franchise, also told people they can go right on ahead and boo. He did that after the Cowboys game.
Of course, the difference between Miles and everybody else is he seems to have the psyche where he doesn't get rattled by the fans. Unfortunately, you don't have a full football team of those guys. You have a lot of guys that are a little vulnerable. And
are they texting you after the game telling you that they're pouting and they're sad?
Their psyche is a little fragile.
Well, I don't know if they're in the right business then.
Can't build them all on Miles Garrett.
You've had a hell of a day trying to make me feel...
53 Miles Garrett's running around out there.
That'd be nice. You want 22 Solomons running around, but you want 22 Garretts.
One hell of a day out of trying to make me feel better. Well, if we had 22 Garretts, we'd be... we'd be pooping diamonds right now, man. I mean, good God. You've made a hell of a day out of trying to make me feel bad for well-heeled people. You understand that, don't you? I mean, Adrian, he has to carry a phone in his shower.
It's hard to go to the urinal.
It's a $20 million contract.
How does he make love when he's getting those tweets? Or just does he not? Does he set that aside?
Well, Shannon Sharp told me two things could be done at once.
Well, Shannon's phone was on the floor. He's not getting any breaking news.
If that happened to Adrian Wojnarowski, I'd like that too. I love love, man. I love people being together.
Does Adrian Woj have to tell the agents to schedule their breaking news around his romance?
If his marriage were in crisis, yes.
That's interesting.
Wait a minute. You got two small kids. I don't want to get in the guy's bedroom.
That's what we're doing.
Does he schedule such a thing?
Yeah, I wonder if he has to.
That'll be part of our new segment, In Room with Adrian Wojnarowski.
No, those newlyweds out there. When you got the little ones, you got to schedule it.
Mitch, see if you can get Woj on the hotline.
When you got
free time.
When you got breaking news about Isaac Okoro coming in, you got to schedule it. That's probably what it did. He probably had just finished. He's having a cigarette, and he goes, Isaac Okoro, really? I'm done. I'm out.
Building up the city they're in. Oh, our fans are the best. Oh, the dog pound. Oh, we know when we come to Cleveland, you guys are going to have our backs. And then they say all the same things city.
I think a lot of that stuff doesn't work unless they're here. Like Miles, I actually believe it.
David Njoku.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, he's turned it around completely.
Perfect example. Perfect example. Perfect example. But Miles is one of those guys, like, before I was like, hey, man, we're going to have to reckon with him not finishing his career here. I'm like, well, he still may not. We'll see how this season goes and then the next year. But at the same time, I'm like, well, he is part owner of the Cavs, and he seems to like that house he has out in the suburbs, and maybe he would keep a residence here. I'm not sure. Like, I think you have to earn it now as a player more than you used to. I think when you and I first started here at the Fan in 2011, like, it was a guy would get drafted, here's your dossier on Cleveland. And it was come out and say dog pound in the thing, and, mm-hmm. and off we go. I think over the last 13 years, tastes have changed with Browns fans and with Cleveland fans in general. I think they've seen guys. LeBron coming back, I think, is part of it, where he did not have to come back and he came back. I think they've seen guys actually earn their trust or their admiration, and I do think they kind of hold him to a different standard here. And again, it's totally different. Like, some people, why don't you support Deshaun? They didn't draft the guy. They did not draft the guy.
There's been plenty of other guys. There is a huge difference.
And I know there's a different set of baggage that comes with him. But you know, when you trade for a guy, it's different. It just is. Jose Ramirez came up through our system, and then he decided to stay. We love him. If they would have traded for Jose Ramirez, it's there. Look at Lane Thomas. I'm sure Lane Thomas is a really nice guy. I mean, people couldn't say anything nice about that guy a few weeks ago. Really terribly mean things about Lane. When you don't draft a guy or you trade for him, you, the organization, have told me, I should like this guy. He is not fulfilling his obligation. Ergo, it's a business agreement between us, and I'm going to treat you as a business, and I don't like
this
it.
This is what has been really impressive with Donovan Mitchell, who this city, we did not draft him. He came over. A lot of people were telling you nationally he's just going to leave in a few years, and now he's signed, and now he's still in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And he's coming to the Muni lot before the Browns games. Like, Donovan Mitchell's doing it the right way.
Didn't finish on our side, though, for that. If they go to the Muni lot before this Browns game, are you going to be nervous?
Oh, well, yeah, well, because Miles was there, too.
They go our way.
And they were having a party.
It wasn't like he was doing beer bongs out there before they went out and played the Dallas. Maybe it would have helped. I'm not sure.
I know. You know, but that's why these players sometimes can't win with fans, because I absolutely saw fans go, oh, Miles, where were the big plays in the third quarter? Where were the big plays? Maybe if you weren't in the Muni lot before the game, maybe you'd still, you know, be able to go out there and make a difference. Like, you can never win.
You don't like my answer.
You never win.
That's part of the entertainment. That's part of what you pay for. That's part of what you pay the big prices for the seats. That's part of what you'll pay for the new stadium. That's part of what it is. That's the entertainment. It's an entertainment business. There's guys like James Harrison out there who would just, what, tap the sign on his locker that says Friday when he'd speak to the media and wouldn't say anything to anybody, wouldn't say boo to a goose. And then there's guys like Myles Garrett who will do the whole thing with Donovan Mitchell, let Donovan Mitchell play the keg bowling with the Browns bunch over there. Yeah. It's guys like that. That's part of what goes with it. Because it's still as serious as it's taken. And it is taken seriously. It is their lives. The best ones know, hey, we're still in an entertainment business. 216-474-0092. You could ask, well, you can't ask Tech Schramm that anymore because he's dead, but you could have asked him that. All right, let me get to Curtis in Cleveland. I got to play this audio. Hello, Curtis.
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
Doing wonderful. Go right on ahead, Curtis.
Hey, man, you know, I grew up in the 80s watching Bernie Kosar and all these guys with these big numbers, these quarterbacks, they were Jim Kelly and Dan Marino. You just sit at home and watch him and Elway in the championship every year. You know, and the guy never threw more than 20 touchdowns in the season. We don't need numbers. We want wins. And if you're going to go down into the stadium and boo a guy like Deshaun Watson is 9-5 in Cleveland, be careful.
Well, I am. I'm
be
at
careful.
The point.
If you're doing that in front of Browns fans,
uh-oh.
Be careful.
Uh-oh. Well, wait a minute. What if you're wearing a Browns jersey and you're booing him and he ain't playing well?
If you're booing the quarterback that's 9-5 that beat the crap out of Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, what they want me to do, and you're doing it in Cleveland Stadium with all that beer down there, be very careful.
Now, Curtis, I don't know. Is this the same thing I got about Section 142 on the internet?
It probably is.
Over there,
yeah.
At Progressive Field,
I
can't call the Guardians, according to one fan.
Got to call them something else.
We're going to be it's going to be fisticuffs. Kind of he's gonna demand satisfaction, yeah. Out of me. folks, don't lose touch with the baseball races. Now, you better not lose touch now. I mean, hell, they could clinch a playoff spot today. If you lose touch now, I guess there's no helping you. Cleveland is battling for a first round bye. Follow all the news on 92.3 The Fan and the Free Odyssey app presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how online at T-Mobile.com/switch. Brian Callahan was asked about his quarterback the other day. He is the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. His quarterback is Will Levis. About a bad decision Will made, and Brian did not pull any punches.
I think the camera caught it pretty clear, if I had to guess. Yeah, I was upset. It was dumb. It was the same exact thing he did last week, and he cost us points in a red zone. And that is what it is. He's a grown-up, and he knows better. And so, you know, I was really irritated that he cost us 3 points in a game that we probably needed it.
Very strong commentary from Brian Callahan down there, which does sound a lot like his father. I said to you that if Kevin Stefanski said that after a Browns game, that people would be calling for Kevin Stefanski's head. A lot of people disagreed. They said they'd be saying that that's a ticket for Deshaun Watson out of town. Am I right or is Lima right? 216-474-0092. You just heard that clip. If Kevin Stefanski said the same thing, because you and I, like, we took it right up to the bell yesterday on that clip. Like, I think you're nuts. I think people would be saying, if the head coach of the Browns said that, I think the majority of our calls, whether or not that's the majority of how Browns fans think, I'm going by the calls. I think the majority of the calls would not feel the same way that you do. I think that they'd be calling for Kevin Stefanski to go.
Well, I guess I would ask, when it comes to...
Because it'd be so out of character. It's almost like you're dropping gasoline in a fire.
Well, right, but I would say, because it's so out of character, I think the one thing everybody's holding out hope is, if you still are holding out hope that Watson and the Browns can coexist, they can make this work and get the best of Watson week in and week out, is that the team still has hope and the coaching staff still has hope. If you heard Stefanski talk like we just heard Callahan talk, I people would be saying that team and that organization has given up on Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
And if they have,
I think
then
that,
why shouldn't the fans?
It's hard to disagree with that, but I think the fans would know. The fans might, but I would also look at the amount of money that's still owed and go, man, it's very hard to get out of these things. It's very hard to move on.
Yes, it is.
And I just think a lot of fans would pick. I think a lot of fans would have to pick the quarterback. Now, I would probably pick the head coach because it would be out of character for him to do so. I think he'd had plenty of opportunities over the first 4 years, no matter who his quarterbacks or his players were. I mean, he could have went out there and said everything he wanted to about Jadeveon Clowney, and he didn't do it. And Jadeveon Clowney made a concerted effort to make this thing a mess at the time that he was ending his time here in Cleveland. He could have done all that. He didn't do that. So if he were to come out and say it, I think a lot of people would be going, this is crazy. You haven't even given this quarterback a chance. Whether or not I believe that or not, I'm just telling you what I think people would say. I'd be very surprised if most of the people were to call in and say that they would be demanding that Watson would be gone. I think if you wouldn't demand Watson would be gone, I think they'd just be demanding all of them be gone instead of just Stefanski or Watson or anything.
They'd probably get some of that too. They'd want a clean slate all the way around.
Tony and Parma, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, Tony.
Hey, Tony, first-time caller.
Glad to have you. Go ahead, Tony.
No, I think that if it came up on there and said, if Kevin came on there and said the same thing, I think everyone would get behind him. I think everyone's tired of Deshaun, and I think everyone would back Kevin on that.
So you would if you heard Kevin say that, you would say it's time for Deshaun to go.
I don't think it's time to go, but I think that we would back up his comments that, you know, he's not playing well. If he made a bad decision or, you know, on that third down the last game, if he would have thrown a stupid pick, we would have got behind him. Boy, if he would have made the same comment.
I am okay, that's the one. I'm really surprised by that. Tony, thank you very much for the call. Josh and Berea. Josh, who do you agree
hey,
with
what's
here?
Up, brother?
Who do you agree with?
I guess I agree with Lima. He's in the camp of people would rally behind Stefanski if he said comments like that, right? Yeah, so I'm with them.
I mean, he's a two-time coach of the year, but I'm going with what the callers would say. I'm very surprised by this.
Isn't Stefanski one of the reasons why people are high on the Browns, too? Like, you know what I mean? Like, why a lot of the fan base still believe that Watson can, you know, turn it around, and why they looked at last week's game and said, hey, there's promise, because that was the Stefanski playbook the first 15 plays. And we saw the ball moving. And then after that, we didn't. I don't know what happened. That kind of has been the way it's been with Stefanski, if you want me to feel, but I'm not trying to bash him, but I think at the end of the day...
Wait a minute. You're not trying to bash Kevin?
I'm not trying to bash him. I'm just saying...
I didn't take it that way.
First 15 plays. Yeah, okay, cool. I didn't want... Huh. I'm not a Stefanski hater. He won me over last year.
You're good.
But yeah, I would rally behind him personally. But also, I'm a little mad about the goalpost movement we're doing here, okay?
We got a Nick Wilson on our hands.
I rarely agree with him, but I think I agree with him when it comes to the goalpost movement.
It's okay. Go ahead.
Because it's just like, let's keep the same energy. I mean, I don't think every person during the Baker era who were negative against Baker were just being negative because, like, I don't like him. That wasn't the guy I wanted, and we need him out of here. I think it was like, I'm sure when he had a good game, some of them were like, yeah, come on, follow that up with another one. Be consistent. And I think most Browns fans, if you were just a fan, despite all the whatever, the news with Watson, when you found out that the Browns convinced Watson to come here, we were all excited. We were all excited. So I don't think there's a problem to still have that expectation. And I'm just hearing a lot of people on the radio is moving the goalpost, and I think the goalpost is even... Sorry, go ahead.
Do you feel I've moved the goalpost?
I feel like everyone's moving the goalpost. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to call you out, but like we're fine. Even having... Diehard Chiefs fans, Owen, I'm sorry, buddy. I'm going to have to call you out.
You don't apologize to him either.
I'll just kick you, so what?
You guys were saying that they didn't open up the playbook for Patrick Mahomes when he first started. Patrick Mahomes' first year, he started through 50 touchdowns. In his first 2 weeks, he threw 10. He was dropping touchdowns
galore. We were talking about freelancing in the playbook, though. We were talking about doing his own thing.
You're telling me 10 touchdowns? He threw 6 touchdowns.
He was staying to the playbook, Josh. He was staying to the plays that were called for
six
him.
Six touchdowns is the playbook, so
the playbook was. Most coaches go out and try to score touchdowns, Josh. What is that news?
But you're telling me is every quarterback in the NFL is just following the playbook if they can score six touchdowns?
When
they
first start in the NFL, yes.
Well,
Patrick Mahomes has even admitted that he couldn't read a defense. All right, we'll see you,
Hold on. Now wait a minute. Do you have a leather vest on over there?
No.
You know, we can't just go kicking everybody.
No, I've got a Guardian sweater on.
Okay,
right now.
That's right. Yeah, because you're going to take your kids to Guardians game, right?
Official dugout collection.
Good. It doesn't have the wing thing on it, does it? The Poly Walnuts logo. I'll wear the other. Well, I can't fit my fat Cheeto ass into the other stuff, but either way, you're allowed to have a little Cheeto dust on there. That's okay. I don't think I've moved the goalpost. I think I've had to move the goalpost because of reality. There. Does that make sense? I'm trying to be realistic about him. I think that he is not the same quarterback he used to be. I think to believe that is a hope that I'm just not willing to have. And if you do, God bless you, I'm not going to do it. And I think that if you continue to just believe that he's not worth the money because of that play, you are never going, ever going to be happy about any win ever until he's gone. And maybe you are one of those folks, and if you're listening to this, thank God you are, because that'd probably be a pretty sad existence every single Monday if they win, and when they win. I just need him to be a solid, sturdy quarterback. When they get to October 13th or the week of October 13th, getting ready for that Eagles game, I think my tenor will change. But on Sunday, don't turn the ball over. Take control of the offense. Grow from last week's performance. It should be sunny, right? It won't be rainy like it was down
cloudy,
in.
Cloudy. That was it.
Okay, so it might be a little bit cloudy, but other than that, it's going to be fine. So grow from last week's performance.
At what stage,
and I will
though,
be here and Kenny, measured and fine on
at
Monday.
At what stage will that not be part of the calculus? Yeah, like every coach says, yeah, don't turn the ball over. But eventually, you know, the best of the best.
Probably October 13th.
Okay, that's all I'm wondering, because eventually there's got to be some semblance of just play the position the way it's supposed to be played.
We got some breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. This is very, very good here. Jim Donovan, named to the 2024 Class of Browns Legends. He's going to join kicker Phil Dawson and the 2024 class set to be inducted on September 22nd. This is an official release from the Browns and Kelsey Russo, who's their staff writer over there at ClevelandBrowns.com. This is wonderful quote. I get the honor to inform you that you will be joining me in this year's class. You will officially be a Cleveland Browns legend, Phil Dawson said on the call to Jim Donovan when he called Jim Donovan to let him know. So Jim Donovan will be inducted with the legends. Jim said, quote, Phil, that's unbelievable. That is so great. That's a great honor. What an honor to go in at all, but to go in with you, wow. There you go. So September 22nd, coming up this Sunday against the New York Giants, Jim Donovan, Phil Dawson, both going into the Browns Legends. That's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful, and obviously very well deserved. I think it goes without saying. Outstanding. Mitch, please.
All right, guys, yesterday we had a few teams punch their tickets to the baseball playoffs, including the Milwaukee Brewers, now NL Central champs for the third time in the last 4 years. In the postgame champagne showers in the locker room, the Brewers briefly centered in on longtime broadcaster and Mr. Harry Doyle himself, Bob Uecker.
There is no one who epitomizes a champion the way this man does right here. There is no one out here. What an example for us to be with every single day. Bob Uecker. No doubt about it.
Bob Uecker's wonderful. Bob Uecker's wonderful. 90 years old, right?
Holy cow.
90, Bobby, yeah, 90 years old. He had a stalker a few years back.
Like in his 80s he had a stalker? Or do you mean way back?
No, 2007. Like it was...
So he was in his 70s?
Yeah. He had a... I'll meet you at the White Rose Inn, like that type of stalker. It was something else. Yeah. Poor Bob Uecker, man. But yeah, Brewers clinch. Nice for the Brewers. Good for Dan Medigan. I don't know why. I said that. He wouldn't hear me say it anyway. But good for the Brewers to be able to clinch. And hopefully, obviously, the Guardians get that chance to clinch today. And hopefully all the Owen and all the little Ottomans are going to be able to go see it later on today. That'll be nice. 1 o'clock. 1:10 first pitch, I should say. Lima, do you want to take everybody on a trip down memory lane?
Oh, this is amazing. And the thing is, I didn't know which one to pick.
So some of you guys out there, maybe you're college age, maybe you got your first jobs. A lot of the high school kids will get driven in by their dads, or they're already in school, so they wouldn't know this. Some of you guys are new to, or you only know Woj for breaking news. Woj used to be to NBA players, in every sense of the word, to some, a major league blank breaker. I mean, he was as tough-minded and tough-penned as you could find. Like, he was a flamethrower. And in 2010, I remember I lapped this up like crazy because I was so mad LeBron left. Lima, you found the article.
Okay, and I'm scrapping that one and going to one in 2011 when they lost to the Mavericks.
Wow. I'm sorry. Quote, I didn't realize. Did you tell me this before?
No, I didn't, because I read this one. It's even better. There's nothing real about James's world, and there never has been. Remember, they had just lost to J.J. Barea and Dirk and all that. Remember? And he looked the like Mavaliers, he was passing up shots. He's a prisoner of a life that his sycophants and enablers and our sporting culture has created for him. He's rich and talented.
Whoa. Slow down a little bit. His sycophants have created for him.
He's rich and talented and something of a tortured soul. He's the flawed superstar for these flawed times. He's a creation of basketball breeding ground full of such twisted priorities and warped principles. Oh. Almost every person who's ever had to work closely with him, who has spent significant time, who's watched him belittle and bully people, told me they were rooting hard against him. That's sad. And that's something he doesn't understand and probably never will. Earlier in this same column, he's talking about Dirk and the purity of Dirk's title. And Kenny, I mean, he's saying James will win championships, but he'll never enjoy a moment so singularly pure as Dirk did. He'll never have his connection to a franchise and a fandom, a communion of shared struggle and pursuit and angst. This is still Dwayne Wade's town and probably Wade's team. One Easter Conference star said, right now, all he's doing is helping D. Wade get his second ring.
This is June of 2011.
Yeah, clearly it didn't age that gracefully.
Well, he is a zero-time champion at that point. Only his second finals.
Yep.
You know, first one with the Heat. First of a run of, how many did he make in a row? 8 in a row?
it's ridiculous. At that time, I'll say, at that time,
there was no thought that he'd ever be back in Cleveland.
And that highlights it, because people get upset when I say this. I go, there's only been one player who's ever played with LeBron. Everybody else plays for him. For him. And the one player is Dwayne Wade, who's ever played with him. Chris Bosh, I don't care what you say, he was there as a piece for LeBron and for Dwayne Wade in that case. If you want to say that Bosh was playing for Wade and LeBron, go right on ahead. Some of that stuff you look back on and you cringe. However, it does show a little bit of the truth of what it was at that time. And boy, he was reviled at that time. And hey, we all rooted against him. And at that time, as an outsider at Cleveland,
we agreed with everything Woj was writing.
He did not think he was coming back. By the way, I'll get this in a second. We did not think he was coming back. Outsiders did not think he was coming back, even though the Cavs were working to bring him back. Is this breaking news?
Yeah, they've got it as breaking news up there.
Go ahead and hit it. I want to make sure we read this right. Browns rookie Michael Hall Jr. I'm just reading this off the television right now from Fox 8. Browns rookie Michael Hall Jr. pleads no contest for disorderly conduct. So that has been finalized over in Avon at that courthouse. So it's been a couple of month process. He pleaded no contest, reduced charge of disorderly conduct, according to Fox 8. I don't know what that does for the NFL.
Yeah, does this conclude their investigation based on everything? Because now that the court situation has come to a close and we understand what the charges are, like, you were saying, was it you, Owen, who said maybe the NFL comes in and suspends them one game?
It probably does conclude their investigation, but it does not conclude the it does not give you a finality or an answer yet. And I think, especially when you plead no contest, right, you're not saying that you're innocent, but you're not saying that you're guilty either, right?
I don't know, man. I didn't take the LSAT. Lima did.
So I would think that the NFL, him being a rookie guy on a rookie contract, would probably just go, hey, here's a game. Take your game. Shut up. Go. That's just my reckless speculation.
I don't know.
And they're probably going to say, dude, clean it up. Like,
yeah.
Well, and I know
that's maybe part of it.
Because, I mean, this is a real relationship and obviously real family consequences.
You could say get away from it, but you got a child together. Right. You're going to be linked.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Right. And these two have had issues before. Right. Yeah. So you wonder
maybe it's an eye opener for everyone involved in this situation.
I have more on this for the podcast.